Title: Percussive Ghost Rolls from Micro Slices Advanced. Alright, welcome back. This is an advanced drum and bass drum programming lesson in Ableton Live, and we're focusing on one of the most addictive little details in a proper rolling groove: percussive ghost rolls built from micro slices. Ghost rolls are those fast, low-level flurries that you don't necessarily notice as separate hits, but the second you mute them, the whole beat suddenly feels slower and kind of dead. Our goal today is to build a ghost roll rack from tiny edits of real drum audio, then turn that into something playable, controllable, and mix-safe inside Ableton. By the end, you'll have a rack that can do subtle pre-snare suction, post-snare momentum, and that constant low-key chatter that makes 174 BPM feel like it's gliding forward. Let's set the context first, because ghost rolls only work if the foundation is stable. Set your tempo somewhere around 172 to 176 BPM. I'm going to assume 174. Turn on the 1/16 grid, and keep the triplet grid available because you'll want it for those jungle-style triplet bursts. Now, you need a basic DNB drum skeleton. Kick and snare need to be predictable. Snare on 2 and 4, and a kick pattern that makes sense for your substyle. Hats can be 1/8 or 1/16. The important rule: the ghost roll supports the groove. It doesn't replace your main drum programming, and it definitely doesn't compete with the snare. Next, choose your source audio. Micro slicing only works if the source has clean transients and interesting texture. Good sources are classic breaks like Amen, Think, Hot Pants, anything with natural grit, or modern one-shots layered with Foley clicks, paper sounds, shakers, tiny noisy stuff. You want transients that still speak when they're quiet. Here's a workflow tip: grab a 1-2 bar phrase and consolidate it. Command or Control J. That gives you one clean chunk of audio that's easy to slice. Now we turn the audio into an instrument. Drop your loop onto an audio track. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Slice by transient. Create one slice per transient, and for the slicing preset choose the built-in drum rack option. Ableton generates a drum rack, and each slice becomes a sampler. This is perfect. You can now play little micro pieces of the break like a kit. But right now, these are normal slices. They're going to be way too loud and full range to act like ghosts. So now we convert normal slices into ghost slices. First, choose slices with rolls. This matters a lot. You want a few slices that work as lead-ins, mean tiny snare skin or hat ticks that feel like they pull into the snare. You want some carry slices, noisy hat fragments that keep momentum after the snare. And you want glue slices, which are super short clicks or Foley bits that fill the gaps between kick and snare without sounding like extra drums. Pick 2 or 3 pads per roll so you can alternate. That way it sounds organic, without relying entirely on random devices. Now let's shape them. Step 1. Filtering. Ghosts need to stay out of the way of your kick, your sub, and the body of your snare. On the ghost pads, or more efficiently on a group or a rack layer that contains your ghost candidates and a high-pass filter. For snare ghost textures, start around 250 to 350 Hz. For hat ticks, you can go way higher, like 800 Hz. If it's still harsh, add a low pass somewhere around 8 to 12 Khz to darken it. Big picture, you're carving these ghosts into texture, not hits. Step 2. Shorten the tails. Inside Sampler, go to Classic Mode if you need to, and tighten the envelope. Decay somewhere around 50 to 200 milliseconds, and release around 10 to 50 milliseconds. These should tap and get out of the way. If the slice clicks too hard, give it a tiny bit of attack. Literally 1 to 5 milliseconds can make it feel less like a digital tick and more like a real drum fragment. Now the secret sauce. Velocity control. Put a velocity MIDI effect before the drum rack. This is your safety rail. Set an output ceiling so ghosts can't accidentally become main hits. A good starting point is setting out high around 70 to 100, depending on how aggressive your samples are. Then add randomness, maybe 5 to 15, to keep it from machine gunning. And a coaching note here. Don't program ghosts at a good listening volume. Program them while the track is playing, then turn your monitoring down. If the groove still feels alive at low volume, you've nailed it. If you can clearly hear a ghost drum beat, it's too loud or too dense. Here's a really useful workflow trick: ghost-only monitoring. Put a utility at the end of your ghost group. Map a macro to its gain, or map a macro to mute if you prefer. Now you can flip instantly between full drums and ghosts only. In ghosts-only mode, you should hear nervous texture and rhythmic intention, not a full drum performance. Okay, Now we program the role. Create a 1 or 2 bar MIDI clip for your ghost rack. Start with 1/16 notes. Don't jump straight to 1/32 everywhere. The roll effect comes from short bursts in the right places, not constant maximum density. Classic placements indeed NB, right before the snare on 2 and 4, and little bits after the snare to carry momentum. Also in the spaces between kick and snare, but keep those extra quiet. A practical starting recipe, place quiet hits late in beat 1, and a tiny lead in right before snare on 2. Then mirror the idea around snare on 4. Now for the burst, leading into the snare. Create a 3-6 note run at 1/32 or 1/32 triplets. The triplets are especially jungle leaning. Straight 1/32 feels more techy and minimal. Now velocities. This is where it becomes music. Typical ghost velocities might be 15-55. For a crescendo into the snare, start around 15-25 and rise toward 45-60. But here's the counterintuitive part. Keep the final pre-snare ghost lower than you think. If you go too loud right before the snare, you get an accidental flam feeling, and the snare loses its authority. Think pull, not hit. Also use context velocity. Right before the snare, let it rise slightly. Right after the snare, let it drop slightly, so the backbeat can breathe. During fills, you can pop them a little higher, but then reset immediately after so the groove doesn't stay overhyped. Now we humanize, but carefully. DN beat is tight. Your main kick and snare should be stable, and the ghosts are where you sneak in movement. Open the groove pool. Try something like MPC 16 swing around 54-58. Or even better, extract a groove from a break you love and apply it only to the ghost MIDI clip. When you apply groove, keep timing influence subtle. Think 10-25%. Velocity influence 0-15 and random just a touch, like 0-5. Then add micro timing nudges by hand for flavor. Try pushing a couple of pre-snare ghosts slightly early, like -5 to -15 milliseconds, to create suction. Then let a couple post-snare ghosts sit slightly late, +5 to +20 milliseconds, for bounce. Go easy. If you're hearing slop, you've gone too far. We're not making lo-fi hip-hop here. We're making a roller that still punches. Next, avoid the machine gun effect. If every ghost hit is the same slice at the same pitch, your ear gets tired fast. Add tonal variation. Option 1. Slight random pitch. Keep it subtle. +/-1-3 semitones. If you have an LFO tool available, you can map it to transpose with a random sample and hold style movement. Slow rates, like 0.5 Hz to 2 Hz, are usually enough. If you want a clean, stock feeling method with no extra devices, duplicate the same slice across 2-4 pads. Change transpose slightly on each one, maybe +1 on one pad, -1 on another. Change the start point a tiny bit too. Then write your MIDI so it alternates pads. That's basically controlled round robin, and it works ridiculously well. There's another advanced trick, micro swing without moving the grid. Keep MIDI notes quantized, but create a second version of a slice, where the simpler start point is a hair earlier or later. Alternate those pads. It feels like timing variation, but your MIDI stays locked. Super useful when you want groove without destabilizing the pocket. Now let's talk saturation, because ghosts lav quietly and quiet sounds can disappear on small speakers. Add a saturator on the ghost group. Soft clip on, drive somewhere around 1-6 dB, and then balance dry wet, maybe 30-70% depending on aggression. Saturation helps the ghosts read without making them loud. A sound design note, often, saturating before your filter makes ghosts feel closer and more detailed. Then you filter after to remove any extra low mid you brought up. That order can be magic. Now mixing and placement. The ghost should sit under the main hits but still be felt. Use EQA to high pass anywhere from 200-600 Hz depending on the source. If it fights the snare body, you might even notch a little around 180-250. If it's harsh, dip a touch around 6-10 K. For space, keep it tiny. A hint of room. Not a wash. Use reverb or hybrid reverb with a short decay, around 0.3-0.8 seconds. Predelay 0-10 milliseconds. High cut it so it's not fizzy, and keep dry wet around 5-12%. Better yet, use a send so you can control it globally. Now protect the snare. Sidechain is a classic move. Put a compressor on the ghost group, sidechain it from your snare track. Ratio 2:1 up to 4:1. Fast attack, 1-5 milliseconds. Release 50-120 milliseconds. You're aiming for just 1-4 dB of gain reduction on snare hits. The snare stays king. The ghosts weave around it. And here's a cleaner, frequency-based protection trick. If you want to get fancy without third-party plugins, use multiband dynamics on the Ghost Group. Set a band split around 2 to 6 kHz, which is where snare crack lives. Then gently reduce that band when the snare hits, either statically or with sidechain if you set it up that way. It's like dynamic EQ behavior, and it keeps your air ticks while the snare owns the crack. Now arrangement. Because ghost rolls are not supposed to be on maximum the entire track, think of ghosts as energy automation. Build three states. State 1. Off or sparse. Just a couple lead-ins into the snare. State 2. Standard roll. Your everyday groove enhancer. State 3. Overdrive, where you add occasional 1/32 bursts, a bit more saturation, maybe to slightly tighter decay so it feels urgent. Then arrange by switching states every 4, 8, or 16 bars. That gives the track movement without you constantly drawing new notes. Also try the post-drop reset trick. After a big fill, remove the ghosts for half a bar or even just beat one. When the micro motion returns, the groove feels like it slams back in, even if nothing got louder. If you want one signature move, pick one distinctive rim or Foley tick and reserve it only for the last eighth note of every fourth bar. It becomes a fingerprint for your roller. Common mistakes to avoid while you're building this. If the ghosts are too loud, you'll know immediately, because they'll sound like extra snares and hats fighting for attention. Clamp with the velocity device. Lower MIDI velocities, and check at low monitoring level. If there's too much low mid, high pass higher. Ghosts should almost never compete with snare body or bass. If it machine guns, add alternates, pitch variation, start offsets, and small velocity random. If you've overswung the whole kit, pull it back. Groove the ghosts more than the main hits. Kick and snare stay stable. And if the reverb is washing out the groove, shorten decay, darken it, and use ends. Now let's do a fast 15-minute practice run. Grab a one-bar break, like Amen or Think. Slice to drum rock by Transients. Choose three slices that are mostly hat and snare texture, not full snare cracks. Program a 1/16 ghost pattern across the bar. Then add a 1/32 roll leading into beat 2 and beat 4. Add a velocity device. Random around 10, out high around 90. EQ 8 high pass at about 350 Hz. This audio version is shortened for playback.